You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. I believe I said last week that this is always one of my favorites, and the Mets continue to make that true.
Amazed.
We have both been covering baseball, not like old grizzled dudes, but for a pretty long time, and I have never seen anything like this. So, first, just walk people through the sequence of events last night as this trade for Carlos Gomez was reported and then all but done, and then not only not done, but not happening at all.
Yeah. You know, what people have to understand is that almost every single trade that gets reported out there gets reported as done pending a physical. And then the teams check out the medicals of the players involved. By that time, it's pretty much public. And then they'll go ahead and confirm the trade and announce the trade. That happens all the time. It's completely routine. It's what's understood in baseball as a done deal, or as much of a done deal as it can be. And that's exactly what happened last night. Now, what happened after that does occur every once in a while, and that was there was an issue with the medicals. In this case, it was the Mets balking a little bit at what they saw from Carlos Gomez's right hip. You can debate until you're blue in the face about how much of an issue that is, whether that's an issue, but the fact of the matter is the Mets thought it to be enough of an issue to nix the deal. And what made this unique and what made this probably the most bizarre episode I've ever covered in a beat full of bizarre episodes is the fact that this was all unfolding before our eyes in real time, maybe as the Mets were playing a game. And Wilmer Flores found out from fans, you know, behind home plate that he had been traded, and he started crying on the field. David Wright found out in the clubhouse when he went in just to get a drink of water or something, and he heard on the TV them talking about this trade that was supposed to send Flores and Zach Wheeler to the Brewers for Carlos Gomez. And he comes out to the bench and tells Terry Collins. And no one totally knows what's going on. Everyone's piecing it together. And it was just this bizarre drama unfolding before our eyes, unlike anything really that I've ever seen on a baseball field. And, you know, now we're a day later. And the takeaway, of course, is that the trade's not going to happen. It didn't happen. It won't happen. The Mets are still looking for outfield help. But the deal that really was their trump card that they were looking at, that it became clear in hindsight that they wanted all along, is dead and died in just the most bizarre, surreal circumstances possible.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I want to get into a little bit, because it's obviously one of the most interesting parts of this, is the Wilmer Flores portion, because Terry Collins, and I want to be clear, I understand Terry Collins just lashing out last night. He's protecting his guy, and from all I can tell, Wilmer Flores is really highly regarded. He's a guy that they personally like and appreciate the effort he's put in. And so, you know, I understand Terry Collins being angry and sort of his player was in a bad position and he was angry about it, and I understand that. But with that said, if Terry Collins were asked not in a scrum as to how that happened and why he made the decisions he did, what do you think he would say? Because at some point it seems clear he had to at least have some inkling that something was going on and an opportunity to make a move to protect Flores. So separating the rhetoric, which again I don't blame the guy for, what do you think was the actual decision-making process that left Flores in that game as long as he was?
Well, I think there was definitely a little bit of communication issue between the front office and Terry Collins, like we've seen before. And granted, again, the deal was not 100% every T and I dotted and crossed and so on and so forth done, because the medical still had to be reviewed, and that ultimately wound up being the issue. But you can put it on the front office a little bit and say, well, why not just alert the dugout, let the manager know so he knows what's going on? And it's pretty routine, you know, even before medicals are reviewed and all that, to pull players from games. We've seen it before. It happens all the time when guys are traded. I was surprised it didn't happen. But I think that was the issue. It was Terry Collins, in a sense, didn't know until it was too late. And by the time he figured out what was going on, learned what was going on, the damage had been done emotionally to Wilmer Flores. and not that this is something he can't come back from. I think he's a pretty level-headed kid, and I think he'll be fine in the long term. But in the moment, I mean, that had to have been just traumatic would be the word I would use. I mean, this is a kid who signed at 16 years old, barely spoke English, didn't really speak any English when he came over, been in the organization for 8 years. It's the only home, the only family, so to speak, that he knows in the baseball world. So to learn when, you know, you're standing on the on-deck circle and you get a standing ovation and you're wondering what's going on, I mean, yeah, it's something that should have, or at least probably could have, been avoided with a little better communication. And again, it just goes back to the realities of what we're looking at in 2015 and information dripping out bit by bit in real time. You know, if this was 20 years ago, probably no one from the media would have even found out that anything was up until after the game. So it was just a bizarre situation all around. And could it have been avoided? Yeah, probably. But it wasn't, and the damage is done.
As for the other piece in this deal, Zach Wheeler, it was noticeable that he was not included in the list of untouchables that Sandy Alderson laid out whenever that was, a few days ago, a week ago, whenever exactly that was. Is Wheeler maybe the most compelling trade chip that the Mets have for a combination of a guy they'd be willing to make available and a guy that might have a lot of appeal to other clubs?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, he's obviously not the best pitcher the Mets have, but this is a guy who I remember saying on this podcast coming into the year, I fully expected him, of anyone on the roster, to be a total breakout candidate. I expect him to take a step forward, turn into an ace-caliber pitcher, essentially what we've seen Jacob deGrom do this year. I expected Zach Wheeler to be that guy. And obviously he got hurt to Tommy John. He's going to be out until at least next June, July. But he still has that upside potential. This guy's still really young. He had a mid-3 ERA last year, won 11 games in his first full big league season. I don't think there's any doubt that, say, in 2017, he can get back to that level and be at least edging toward the top of the rotation caliber pitcher, if not, you know, ever fulfilling that full potential. I mean, this is a guy that still has a lot in the tank, a lot to give. And if the Mets are willing to give him up, which clearly we know is facts now, that they are willing to give him up in the right deal. It is a very intriguing trade chip. The only thing that I'd say, you know, in contention of that is I'm not sure who, short of Carlos Gomez, the Mets give him up to get now. You know, they really want somebody who can play center field. They want a power bat. You know, they've kicked around, I'll give Jay Bruce as an example, but he's a guy who's not a center fielder, and they're not in love with that fact that he's not a center fielder. So you put all of that together, and Carlos Gomez was kind of the perfect storm that they were chasing. He fit all of their criteria, and not that he's a perfect player by any means, but he's exactly what the Mets wanted and what the Mets needed. And so they were willing to essentially, you could call it a little bit of an overpay. They were willing to give up a guy with frontline rotation potential. They were willing to give up a guy who, as recently as a few months ago, they thought very highly of, could be their starting shortstop for years to come in Wilmer Flores. Whether there's another deal out there that they're willing to go that big on, I'm not sure it exists right now. But if it does, and the Mets are clearly willing to give up Zach Wheeler, that's a big chip to give up, and it could certainly get them something of value.
So what is next? If Wheeler is not a piece for somebody like Jay Bruce, who I don't think you'd even want to fake in center at this point, what do they do? Is it just kind of settle for maybe looking for another kind of second-tier bat? Is there a really kind of transformative guy still out there? Where do they go over these next 27 hours as we speak in order to get that offensive upgrade that they thought they were getting?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the Mets lineup as it's currently constituted now, there's two obvious areas they can upgrade. One is shortstop, which isn't going to happen because they're not interested in Jose Reyes, and the only guy who would really be a true upgrade worth paying for is off the market now, and that's Troy Tulowitzki. So you look at the outfield and you look at center field. Who's out there? There's not a lot. I mean, Gomez was the guy. The Brewers have another guy, Gerardo Parra, who's having a very nice year, and the Mets have shown interest in him. But from what I gather from my reporting, they have never really agreed with the Brewers on a price point and what this guy is worth for essentially 2 months of Gerardo Parra. So they're going to keep kicking those tires, so to speak, to use the baseball jargon, and looking around and seeing if anything opens up in the 11th hour, as often happens with trade deadline. But inventory is limited, and the bats that are out there are highly sought after in many places. A lot of them are gone already. So I think there's definitely a chance the Mets wind up doing nothing, not because that's what they want, because clearly they're willing to do something and do something pretty big, but they might, push come to shove, not have a choice. And, you know, the other option really is they might do something that they're not in love with. They like the Gomez deal a lot. They were really happy that they thought they were getting Gomez. I've heard that from multiple places. I mean, they were on board with it. They really wanted to do this. And now that it's not getting done, I think it's almost like starting from scratch with less than 48 hours until the deadline when it happened.
So one last thing, because it is an interesting question. They just, not that long ago, this year, committed long-term to Juan Lagares. If one of the areas where they're really looking for an upgrade is center field, you're not going to put Juan Lagares on a corner. That pretty clearly indicates that he's maybe not a part of the plan right now. How does Lagares fit in going forward?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the major subplot of this trade, I would call it, is that you did commit to this guy, and the reason you're looking for a center field upgrade is because he has not performed anywhere close to your expectations offensively or defensively. You know, there were reports out there that the original iteration of the trade would have sent Lagares instead of Flores, or at least that the Mets were pushing to send Lagares instead of Flores to the Brewers, and the Brewers were not on board with that, which a little more. Essentially, the Mets are in win-now mode, and Juan Lagares has not been helping them win now, so they're looking for, if Juan Lagares is still here in 2 days, as is a center fielder from outside the organization, you know, it's going to be, it's not as if Juan Lagares is going to fall off the face of the earth and not going to be a part of this organization. He's signed. He's signed for the long term. They bought out his arbitration years, and they will do everything they can to get him right, whether that's an extended stay on the disabled list, to get his elbow right, to get his side injury right, whether that's a trip to AAA to get his swing in gear and really to help him develop into the player they thought he could be. You know, that's all conversations, topics that maybe we'll be discussing here on this podcast a couple of weeks from now. But it's definitely an awkward situation, a guy they committed to and who now, in the short term, as they're trying to win, is not a huge part of those plans.
All right. Well, we could do probably another 20 minutes, but I will actually let you get back to work. Anthony Como, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.